How much time? 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you. What?
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
All right, we're on.
Ready, Phil?
We're on in 5, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Lots to talk about tonight in terms of hockey stuff that's going on. Let's bring in Jenna. Jenna, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah. How are you?
It's been a week so far for me.
I feel that. Very hard.
Certainly a forgettable week and possibly one that I don't want to revisit ever again. But at the same time, though, nothing super, super terrible going on. It's just been a busy, busy, busy week for me in terms of work and everything else that's going on. So it's definitely not been as bad as, you know, what we saw last night in Winnipeg with the Jets. I mean, we can talk a lot about how the Jets came out unprepared and looked like they were lost out there for a while. We can talk about, you know, the Jets missing a couple of key players, but I mean, let's get the elephant out of the room pretty quickly here. I don't know what Mark Scheifele was thinking about when he threw that hit on Jake Evans. I don't know why it would possess him to even think that throwing that hit had any way, shape, or form, any chance of stopping that empty net goal from being scored. But Mark Scheifele is going to be suspended now. He has a phone call with the Department of Player Safety that's scheduled coming up sometime either today or hopefully today, not tomorrow. But I don't understand this. I don't get why Mark Scheifele thought that this was going to be any sort of effective way to try and prevent a goal from being scored when the goal had already been scored.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think that he thought it would be. I think at that point, for me personally, at least, it just seemed like emotions. Like, he was pissed off, frustrated, and was like, well, I'm just going to do this regardless of if it was. I don't think he was like intending to go like, you know, drill him and
right.
Like, knock him out. However, I think he let his emotions get the best of him in this case. And he did some real stupid, but
I mean, I agree with the assessment that he probably was back-checked. Again, I can't deny this. He back-checked hard. I mean, for a guy who never back-checks, he came back hard. I think that once he hit sort of the hash marks, once he sort of hit the top of the face-off circles and knew that there was very little chance of him being able to stop Evans, it was simply a chance for him to, you know, take a little frustration out. He hadn't played well all game. He didn't look like the same Scheifele we had seen in the previous series. He looked like he was frustrated. And I think it was a chance for him, like you were saying, to maybe take a little bit of that frustration out on somebody else. Good people do bad things. And that's what I think it comes down to, is that he may not have intended to hurt Evans, but he did. And for those people who said, oh, it wasn't a headshot, save it. Because honestly, I'm tired of people saying, well, the first point of contact, it doesn't matter. If you make contact with the head, it's a headshot.
Yeah. And it's just, at that point, I don't know how to explain like exactly what's in my brain right now. But again, even if it wasn't a headshot, let's just say that, like, at that point, there's no reason to be doing that. You're coming back full speed. Yes, you're back checking hard, but he didn't have to do it. Regardless right. If it was a headshot, if it wasn't, it was very unnecessary. There's no point in the hit. You know that puck's going in the net at that point. Like, dive for it if you're that concerned. But to come in full speed and not even, like, try and stop yourself or try and, you know what I mean? Like,
And again, I get the fact that he's trying to take a little bit of frustration on Jake Evans. I get the fact that he wants to throw that hit. I understand that's what's going through his mind when he goes, well, I'm not going to be able to stop the goal, so I might as well, you know, erase the guy who scored it. And I get that he's throwing a big hit. I get that what he's doing is he's sending a message to the Canadians about what's going on. But he's doing it unwittingly. He's made himself into the villain now in this series, and he's given the Montreal Canadiens a reason to rally. And when you look at the fact that the Jets were down Paul Stastny last night, are probably going to be down Dylan DeMello now in the, for a portion, if not all of this series, after he got injured early in the game yesterday. I look at how selfish that play is. And people are going to, you know, are going to lambaste me for this, but dude should lose the letter on his jersey if you're going to make a play like that, because this game was over. There was no chance of the Jets rallying at that point. There was zero chance of them winning that game. And he went and did one of the most selfish things that he could possibly do and put it on his shoulders and made a stupid play that will legitimately cost his team now their number one center.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point for sure.
Like, I get that leadership is affected by maturity, but this was an immature play by a player that we expect more from. And I'm not saying that in any way is Scheifele not a mature player. He certainly is. He certainly looks like he could lead a team at some point. But he let emotion overtake him last night. He let frustration creep in and really cloud his judgment. And he made a bad, bad play that will affect the Winnipeg Jets now in terms of this playoff series and possibly, you know, if they lose, their entire season.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been not even that it would be different for me if it was at any other point in the game, but at that timing, you know what I mean? Like, there was no, that was just a very, very bad play. And maybe I don't know.
I respect
that. I'm trying to make excuses for it or say
no.
Different times. It would have, like, it was still dirty, not dirty, but it was dirty. I don't know. I agree, though. Like, he's out, and he is definitely a big player for the Jets, regardless of, you know, even if he's not scoring, doing whatever. He's like a presence to have on the ice almost. So at this point, yeah, he's definitely not helping them out at all.
But I mean, that's the question now, is that, I mean, again, I respect Mark Scheifele. I think that he's a good player. I think that he's going to be a player for a long time in this league, whether it's with Winnipeg or anybody else, depending on where he wants to be. I have no issue with the way that he plays the game, but I do have an issue with the fact that at this point in this series, where we need him the most, because we're already down a couple of key players, he's gone and taken himself out of it through his own personal actions that legitimately is going to cost the team in a bigger way. Like, who do you have to step in now as your number one center?
Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, you can possibly put Blake Wheeler in the middle. You can possibly put Pierre-Luc Dubois in the middle. But you don't have Stastny and you don't have Scheifele, so you don't have a second-line centerman, which means that Andrew Kopp might have to go and play second-line center, which he can possibly do.
Yeah.
But then you're down all sorts of wingers, and you've got all sorts of line combinations, and you're bringing in guys. Christian Vesalainen is probably going to get a shot to come back in now, which is good for Christian Vesalainen, but he's no Kopp, he's no Stastny, he's no Scheifele. And I go, this is the problem with this whole play, is that you've reduced the number of top six forwards you have, top nine forwards that you have. Sure, we'll see Perreault get a few extra minutes now on the first or second line, which will be great. But you've reduced the number of top six forwards that you have at your disposal. And you've made this team significantly worse by doing that against a team like Montreal that is on a roll right now. Like, the last thing you should have done is put your own frustration ahead of the team.
Yeah, I agree, especially if you have that letter on your chest, too.
So, I mean, looking at the rest of the game, I mean, Jets didn't play much better.
No.
it was ugly for most of the first, actually all the first period and most of the second. They seemed to figure it out with about 5 minutes to go and desperate for goals. They scored a couple of goals. I mean, they gave one up as well in terms of how Montreal plays the game. They just sort of fell into the trap. But I don't understand why the Jets have moved away from the way they played against Edmonton. I get that DeMello getting hurt changes some of the dynamic out there, but I don't understand why they've moved away from the way they played against Edmonton. They didn't forecheck hard yesterday. There was almost zero forecheck in terms of forcing the puck out of the Montreal zone. They were pretty passive through the neutral zone, and they didn't seem to understand anything that was going on in the defensive zone. Like, they got lost on that goal by Corey Perry, where he just basically skated out of the corner to the front of the net. They got lost on the Suzuki goal. And I go, what were you guys doing for 9 days that you basically lost all semblance of how to play hockey?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that one. They looked like they not even they looked like they were a completely different team. If I'm being honest with you, I fell asleep during the third period, so I didn't even know. I was over it. But I mean, yeah, they had 9 days off, which I was listening to like Cassie Camel and them talk, which sometimes isn't always better. Like, the rest isn't better than like Montreal. They didn't have a break. They like went from one to the other. You know what I mean? Which everyone's like, oh, that kind of sucks. But I think the 9 days that the Jets had off, 8 or 9 days, whatever, I think that that kind of just was not good for them. Clearly it wasn't, because I got out there and looked like they hadn't played a game in like 3 years.
But that's the thing, though, is you go, the rest should have helped these guys, you know, get over bumps and bruises and ready for the second round. It's like they took the intensity out of the room, though. Like, they were intense. They were ready to go for Edmonton. It looked like they were a completely different team from what we saw in the regular season. And now we're back to regular season Jets again. Like, congratulations. You had a 4-game stretch where you beat one team. Like, let's go and beat another team now by playing the exact same way. They shouldn't have altered the – and I'm – whatever. Blake Wheeler after the game, oh, you know, we had the right game plan. We just didn't execute. No, Kate. Okay. A, truthful, you didn't execute at all, but B, the game plan is not the right game plan because you allowed 5 goals. Like, stop talking about the right game plan when you're giving up 5 goals. If you'd given up 1 goal and lost the game 1-0, you could say you didn't execute. You could say the game plan worked, but it's 5 goals, 4 even strength goals. Like, this is not the game plan. You shouldn't have to score 6 a night to win a playoff hockey game. This is not the 1980s in Wayne Gretzky.
No, I agree. And you know what? Even if they were to have had, you know, I don't even know what their game plan was because they looked like whatever. But regardless of that, there was no execution of any sort throughout that game. And I mean, I didn't really watch the third period, clearly.
It didn't matter. It was the same as the first two.
I'm kind of happy that I didn't watch it, but... Yeah, I'm just hoping that they come out a different team, which, again, now we're down, you know, a couple of players, maybe 3.
Definitely 3. There is a call to the Department of Player Safety that he's going to have. So he will be suspended for at least 1, if not more, maximum being 5 games.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting, to say the least. I mean, even if they... Yeah, that's just all a lot.
I'll throw credit. They
come out as the, you know, that team that they were for the most part, you know, last series. But
I'll throw credit out to the Montreal Canadiens. They played their game. They forced Winnipeg to play their game. And anytime you can get a team to bend to your will, you've got a pretty good chance of winning that game. So congratulations to the Montreal Canadiens, because they did that last night and they did it very effectively. I do want to point out, and this is neither here nor there, but I do want to point out that the one guy that maybe should be wearing a letter now for the Jets, and this has nothing to do with last night's game or anything like that. Well, it does have a little bit to do with last night's game, but I think Nick Ehlers has earned a letter only because of the way that, you know, he leads on the ice. He's certainly, you know, a bit of a chirpy guy in his press conferences and likes to have, you know, some fun with the press. But watching Nick Ehlers protect Jake Evans last night, regardless of what jersey you wear, like, that is a leader right there, because he recognized just how serious Jake Evans was in trouble. Yeah. And he kept the pile from basically moving closer to Evans, and then not only helped Evans in that regard, but then helped the Winnipeg Jets trainers come out and actually check on Evans as well. He basically skated them over so they didn't, you know, slip and fall on the ice. And you go, how is it that guy is not a, I mean, yes, he's a leader in the room. I'm not doubting that he's a leader within the Jets locker room, but how is that guy not one of the guys to wear a letter on this team?
Yeah, I know. That was something that, like, you don't see that very often in really any sport. You know what I mean? Regardless of, like, if you do whatever, like, normally everyone would just be in that pile and saying, oh, whatever. Like, that was don't know. That was actually, I don't know why it's so cool to me that he did that, just because, I don't know, but like you said, that definitely shows like him as a person, regardless of whatever, you know what I mean? And that aside, even on the ice, like, yeah, sometimes he's chirpy, does whatever, but he is definitely, I think he could wear a letter regardless of if that had happened or not last night, but that's just me.
On the other side, Edmondson came out and made a strong statement towards his feelings on what went on. Joel Edmondson from the Montreal Canadiens basically saying that if Shifley comes back in this series, they're going to make his life miserable. I'm not here to condemn Edmondson in terms of his emotions, but you can't really say that out loud when it sounds like you're threatening another player. Like,
I get it,
but
for your teammates, but also it's playoff hockey. So yeah, maybe you're going to try and be annoying, but at that point, the only way you're really going to make his life on the ice and anything hard is you're going to end up taking penalties. So,
but I again, I don't care what happened. I mean, I'm not trying to compare the two. This is not a fair comparison at all, but this feels a lot like the whole Todd Bertuzzi, Steve Moore, we're going to, you know, next time we see these guys, we're going to make sure it's different sort of idea. Like, yeah. You can't even utter those words without any sort of problem that you're gonna, again, I'm not saying to suspend Edmondson, but certainly you're gonna have to fine him for that, because you can't say that out loud. Like, you cannot do that in a professional setting. And I understand, I get it, he's emotional, he's sticking up for Jake Evans, but no Edmondson, you're better than that.
I agree with you. There's, even if you, again, I get where he's coming from, however, don't say that. Maybe, right. If you know, want to say something like word it a little bit differently, at least, you know.
You could, yes, that would certainly help. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I get it. Again, I do get it, especially when your teammate gets not even like injured a little bit. Like, he's very injured, you know. I get it, but you don't have to. I don't know. Seems like a bunch, like, not, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
That's okay. The other side of the coin, the two teams that one of Montreal and or Winnipeg will face, whether it be Colorado or Vegas, they had game two last night as well. Vegas looked like they were into this game. Unfortunately, lost 3-2 in overtime, as it ended way too late for my liking, but that's okay. Colorado Avalanche looked very sloppy yesterday, very different from their 6-1 beating that they laid on the Golden Knights in game one. But Grubauer was impressive. And I got to say that the power play given to Colorado in overtime, little iffy, but power play nonetheless. I'm afraid that, not that I'm afraid, I'm pretty confident that no matter who comes out of the Winnipeg-Montreal series, they're in for a wild ride when it comes to playing either Colorado or Vegas.
Yeah, if I'm going to be 100% honest with you, I have not kept up with.
That's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to keep up with it. I'm just saying that it looks a little for anybody who runs into. I mean, the way Colorado, even with Colorado playing as bad as they did yesterday, they still won. So, yeah. What do you do?
That's true, I guess. So, never mind. Actually,
I was gonna say I'm not excited to see. I mean, I'm excited to see Colorado play whomever wins. I mean, again, let's hope that it is Winnipeg. Just being the homer side that we can here, but even if they do get there, this might be that conference side might be a long, long list of, oh my gosh, like, how do we compete with these guys?
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I'm curious to see. I love playoff hockey because it's so, I don't know.
It's fun. I'm not going to lie. It's fun. A little surprised. I know this isn't one of the things we sort of discussed, but a little surprised that Connor Hellebuck didn't get nominated for a Vezina trophy this year, considering how crucial he was in the Winnipeg Jets making the playoffs.
I was actually talking to a guy that I work with about that yesterday, just because if the Jets didn't have him, like, there's nothing.
Honestly, that is the truth. Like, the Jets don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. So
Grubauer, Fleury, and Vasilevsky are all in the that rank. Again, I don't have a problem with Vasilevsky. It's his fourth straight year. He's been in the nominations. He's one of the best goalies in the league. Grubauer, a little surprising, only because, again, he had the best goals against average, but he also played for the best team in the league. And yeah. Fleury, a little surprising, but also helped his team get to the second best record in the league. So I don't have an issue with that. I don't have an issue with any of them getting in there. Maybe Grubauer is the most questionable, but I honestly thought that Hellebuck, the way he played this season in terms of keeping Jets in games, I thought he had a better chance.
Yeah. I'm just trying to – I agree with you, actually, 100%. Like, the way that he played, the way that literally, like I said, there would be no Jets at this point right now if it wasn't for him. And you would think at least, like, a nomination, you know, it makes sense, but apparently not.
The other news, I guess, that came out today is that the Calder Trophy nominations were released. Kaprizov is in there, obviously. I mean, leading scorer. Dallas Stars' Jason Robertson, who was among the league-leading rookie scorers as well. And surprisingly, although maybe not so surprising, Carolina Hurricanes goaltender Alex Nedeljkovic.
Oh.
So Alex Nedeljkovic is the third nominee and helped his team to, like, the third best standing in the league. I think that Nedeljkovic has got a good opportunity to, you know, to really sort of make a name for himself. Is he going to beat Kaprizov? Probably not. Kaprizov was the main reason Minnesota was, or not the main reason, but one of the main reasons Minnesota was so good this year. But I mean, all three of those guys were vital to their team's success. Jason Robertson came out of basically nowhere for Dallas, and Nedeljkovic, you know, sort of picked up the slack after Peter Mrazek stumbled a little bit and James Reimer stumbled a little bit. But I mean, all three of those guys, I think, are pretty good selections for that. I can't think of any other players that would be more deserving than those three.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I love these things, like, not these things, but, like, when there's nomination stuff like that. I can't wait. I don't know what I can't even speak. Never mind.
That's okay. The draft lottery happened yesterday as well. So we found out who the top 15. Now, for those that are wondering, Arizona doesn't have a first-round pick this year. They were in the mix only to keep things organized and keep things sort of, you know, separate with all the different percentages and who could end up where and all that kind of stuff. But they don't have a first-round pick because they basically had it removed by Gary Bettman for doing all of that illegal draft combine tampering that they were doing, where they were getting players to work out off the clock and behind the scenes and that kind of stuff. So they don't have a first round pick this year, but they were in the mix. So Arizona's not going to have a pick this year in the first round, but the three teams that will pick first, second, and third include the Buffalo Sabres, who won the draft lottery, the Seattle Kraken, who moved up one spot and bumped Anaheim to the third spot. I don't know if this helps Buffalo. Buffalo's just, yeah. I mean, Seattle's going to use their pick and start building, obviously, a team from nothing, which is important. But if you're Buffalo, I mean, you need to improve in all aspects, from front office right down to, you know, 25th guy on the bench. Like, yeah. I don't know if the first overall pick will do anything for Buffalo other than maybe give them one additional player who wants out of Buffalo in 4 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, great. That's awesome for them. Well, in the long run, even if they were to get someone that, like, would, you know, be obviously they're going to get someone that's a great player regardless, but if you don't have the team to back them up or do whatever, like, it's not going to help them, and you're not going to help that player out very much either. So,
well, I mean, you think about it, Jack Eichel already wants out. Like, we're talking about a player who's basically fed up with promise after promise after promise of improving the team, and they sign a few guys and then they come in and everything falls apart again.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Eichel's not part of that problem, but the issue becomes if Eichel wants out and eventually finds a way to get out,
yeah,
this team takes two steps back again. Like, they're no better than where they were, you know, without Eichel. And I just go, what are you guys doing in Buffalo that you cannot? And I get that, you know, guys don't want to go play there because it's a losing environment, but what are you doing in Buffalo that everybody just goes, no, I don't care how much money you offer me. Again, Taylor Hall only took Buffalo because he wanted to play in Boston and at the last minute got like a $9 million deal from them.
Yeah, fair.
And took a and took a 1 year deal because he's like, I ain't staying here for more than a year, guys. Like, just be aware of this.
Yeah, just so you know, like, I'm here for a bit, but
right, I'll come and play for you for a season, but don't expect me to stick around a lot. And I look at this and I go, okay, they take a guy like, again, I'll just randomly choose a guy, but they take a guy like Owen Powers first overall, you know, in terms of getting a defenseman. It doesn't make them any better. Like, Owen Power is going to be a great defenseman, but it doesn't make them better in the immediate future. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm almost thinking Buffalo would be better off trading this pick for a pile of talent.
Yeah. That's the thing. You need, at this point, they're going to need more than one player to come in and whatever. Even then, like you're saying, everybody wants out. Well, once, you know, Eichel's out, there's other people out. You're just going to set yourself back even more. And, like, obviously, it's difficult when you want people to, because at that point, the players, you know, they don't like losing. At the same time, they can't build if they don't have the players that are committed to staying there or getting paid enough to stay there, maybe. But they need to, yeah, I mean, trade that pick for a few, you know, real good players. And at least then you got a couple people coming in that might make a bit more of a difference. Even if it doesn't make a drastic difference, anything's better than where they were at this year. So,
right, exactly. So I don't understand why. I mean, again, I understand the importance of getting the first overall pick and having that asset, but yikes. Yikes, yeah. For Buffalo. I mean, good for them. I hope they get a good player out of it if they keep it, but I would almost be looking at it as, we need to trade for two or three good players. We'll trade this to a team that legitimately is looking for X player.
Yeah.
And we'll make this work in terms of getting it going. Because I you're so far away from being a competitor right now that there's no point in even trying to compete. Like, I look at Detroit, where Detroit was a couple of years ago. And I know that, you know, Steve Yzerman's come in and he's sort of restocked the cupboard and he's getting these good young players and put them all together and he's finding talent here, there, and everywhere. Detroit's no closer to making the playoffs than where they were 2 or 3 years ago. Like, Detroit's still way down the list.
Yeah.
And I just go, Buffalo, you're further behind at this point than where Detroit was. You don't even have guys that want to play there. Like, at least Dylan Larkin wanted to play for Detroit. You don't even have that. Jack Eichel wants out. Like, I just look at it and I go, you've got to really shake this up now. And trading the first overall pick seems like a mistake, but it could help in an immense way if you can find a team that legitimately has A, salary cap problems, and B, needs to bring in some young talent.
Yeah.
I don't know. A team like Toronto, for example. I don't know. A team like Tampa Bay, for example. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I never actually really thought about it that way, because they just kind of seem doomed. Or that's the thing. That one, you know, draft pick will help other teams out more so. Like, teams that, like you said, Toronto, Tampa, that have some decent players, have talent, but they just need to, like, switch it up a little bit. Whereas Buffalo needs to completely restart.
Right. Almost. Like, it's an overhaul completely. I agree. So, I don't know. Speaking of money, salary caps, Wayne Gretzky, as we know, signed with Turner Sports to be one of their analysts for $3 million a season. Wayne Gretzky also announced this week as the brand ambassador for BetMGM online sports betting, whatever. I mean, they operate all sorts of stuff in casinos and resorts, and you can make sports betting and stuff or whatever. He's going to be the brand ambassador for them. My question to you is, did bet99.net just miss a huge opportunity?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen those commercials during the playoffs now? Bet99.net, you know, with Georges St-Pierre.
Yeah.
How could you miss out on Gretzky when your name is bet99.net?
Yeah, no kidding. you would think, you know, maybe they just, I don't know. That's a fair point.
So, I mean, good for BetMGM. They're going to get a little brand presence in hockey with Wayne Gretzky in there. But, I mean, I guess he'll just show up and wave and do all the press meets and greets that he has to in terms of getting his money out of BetMGM. But I don't know if Wayne Gretzky's hurting for money, but he's selling himself off pretty hard here.
Right. Like, I just don't, I don't understand. And I mean, good for him. Do whatever. You got the time. Do it. But also the fact that he's never, like, there's never really been much of this coming from him previously.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's like, haha, well, I'm going to get my name in everywhere. If you have the time and you are bored and want to do whatever, that's awesome. But like, I would just like to know like where this is all coming from out of nowhere.
I don't know. I'm shocked that Wayne Gretzky is legitimately selling himself off to anybody who comes and asks. But I mean, maybe he wants to be, you know, the brand spokesperson for the hockey show. Who knows? We can see if we can wrap him into that deal. Yeah, we'll see if we can wrap him into the deal here. So, but good on Gretzky. I mean, obviously he's getting back into the game in different ways now. So good for him if he wants to be involved again, which is nice. A little bit of news out of the ECHL. We mentioned a while back that there were two new teams that were going to be added for the 2021-2022 season. Iowa had received a team and Trois-Rivières in Quebec had received a team. Yeah. Coralville, Iowa is where the Iowa new team will play. And they do have a name now. They are going to be called and will be called the Iowa Heartlanders.
Okay.
Now, people are probably going to be a little confused. What the heck is the Heartlander? What does that even mean? Like, what are you talking about? According to the story of their logo, this was on their website. This is on the ECHL website. Quote, a Heartlander is no ordinary breed of buck. We run the game. The primary logo is of a white-tailed deer poised for battle and expression, stance, and thorny detailing to capture the essence of our strength, determination, and work ethic here in Iowa. Unquote. Now, that's a lot of corporate jargon marketing speak that nobody really believes in, but their logo is actually pretty cool. Like, you think about, you know, deer logos and you go, okay, well, the Milwaukee Bucks have a deer logo and the Elk, the new Edmonton Elks kind of have a deer logo. Theirs is actually pretty good. I actually like it.
I'm just going to take a little look at it. Take a look.
It's not bad at all. Now, it looks like they're going to be in grays and yellow, and then they're going to have their secondary logo will be the Wild Prairie Rose. So they're going to have a little bit of pink in their color scheme as well. But I think it's pretty awesome, actually. Coral pink petals is how it's described. But I think it's actually not bad in terms of what they look like. They're going to have a pretty unique color scheme as well as a pretty unique logo. I don't have a problem with this. I think Iowa, I don't like the name. Heartlanders is that's just a terrible name. But I think the idea, though, like using this imagery is actually not too bad. I don't have a problem with this.
You know what? The one thing, it reminded me of the Lethbridge logo a little bit, but not fully. Yeah. Like the detail's a lot nicer. The color is like, it's drastic but not, you know what I mean, like it stands out but it's not in your face. I definitely like it. It's simple but not too simple.
So they describe the color as sunrise gold for the yellow, which I'm like, okay, whatever, who cares, like it's just yellow, like let's be honest here. But it looks like it's going to be a pretty decent, you know, pretty decent logo. They could probably do some pretty good stuff with this. So I'm excited to see what Iowa looks like on the ice. Obviously, they're going to start putting stuff together. Trois-Rivières has not announced their name yet, obviously, as we wait for that to come out. But that should hopefully be announced shortly. But Iowa Heartlanders will be one of your new ECHL teams for next season. So the name and logos were created in partnership with WinX2 branding agency and designer Brian Gundell. If you have any questions about that, certainly direct them that way because I have no other information on it. So there you go. There's the Heartlanders. From the Heartlanders in the ECHL, we'll go to the heartland of apparently all hockey things. As Calgary was officially announced as the Women's World Championship host city coming up in August. So Calgary will host the Women's World Championship, which has been moved from Halifax and Truro. Officially in August, all the teams will take to the ice and play out of Calgary. So I don't have a problem with Calgary being selected. I think we talked about this a little bit on the show prior to this, that Calgary was kind of the right idea based upon, you know, allowing the Canadian team to bubble there and certainly, you know, having Hockey Canada there and all that. But I'm starting to get a little sick of Alberta getting everything.
No kidding, hey. I don't have a problem with it as long as it doesn't turn into like the NWHL situation had happened.
Right.
But I think that as long as there's the proper steps, the proper protocol, I'm here for it.
So the PWHPA sort of series of games that happened there in Calgary over the last week, came back. They had no positive tests. They had no COVID positive tests whatsoever. So it looks like the bubble that they've set up there will work.
Perfect.
Assuming that the same protocols are all in place for the international teams when they get there. But if they can do it for 1 week, they can certainly do it for a second week as well, I would say. So let's hope that the Women's World Championship can run without any sort of blips on the radar, because it's time that these women get a chance to play.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited to watch some women's hockey.
Right. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, that's a big establishment in terms of, you know, just getting hockey back for the women there and getting that tournament up and running after being canceled 2 years in a row, or seemingly 2 years in a row. It'll actually take place this year, which is kind of nice. So speaking about being canceled, though, we're going to break down we went over this in detail last week. The Robert Morris University Colonials problem about being canceled, hockey being canceled for Robert Morris, is a terrible story. The problem now, though, is that things have gone from bad to worse.
Yeah.
It is not a good situation, and it is not going to get any better for Robert Morris University after a number of new developments have come out. So strap yourself in, folks, because we're going to go over this information again.
I need to get ready for this one. Okay.
This is going to shake everybody to the... And the problems that I have with this, and I'll set the stage by saying this, the problems that I have with this now is it seems almost identical to what happened out in Lethbridge.
Yeah.
So here we go. As we know, back on Wednesday of last week, there was a statement put out that basically said that RMU was canceling both the men's and women's hockey program. Okay. So everybody was shocked. Everybody, you know, oh my God, what is going on? What's happening with this? Blah, 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 blah. Outrage ensued. Okay. Everybody's kind of letting it settle in now. We kind of understand that this is happening. We still don't know why. There still isn't a lot of good information, blah, 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 about, you know, all the media stuff that's going on with it. But it's hard to fathom that two very successful programs would be canceled with no sort of information other than a vote that was put through the Board of Trustees, who seemingly just discarded hockey like it was, you know, trash they didn't need anymore. So hard to fathom that part of it. Except that that's not what happened.
Oh, God.
And this is where things fall apart entirely. I want to throw out credit now, specifically one Pittsburgh reporter, Jared Pruger, who did a ton of great work on DK Pittsburgh Sports. If you haven't visited that site, go follow Jared Pruger's information there. He did some outstanding work digging into the information that was coming out, going to talk to people at the university, all that kind of stuff. Fantastic reporting by Jared. He needs to get a little credit for this. But Jared wrote in an article that was released on June 1st, quote, "The decision was made, per our sources, entirely by Morgan O'Brien, the board's chairman, and Chris Howard, the school president. Those two made the call unilaterally. No prior information was disseminated and no consensus of any kind was achieved at the time or, for that matter, since. When the information was shared, it occurred over a 10-minute Zoom call in which Howard took no questions from any participants in the session," unquote. So let me just summarize that quickly. The board chairman and the school president decided they were going to cut hockey, announced it to a few people, and then took zero questions despite them having a frequently asked questions thing on their statement a week ago. Okay. All right. Hold on. We're not done yet with the discoveries. We're not done. There's more. This is going to be great. So in exposing Chris Howard's lies on the statement that came out, Howard decided he was going to do a press conference, you know, maybe try and, you know, string together a few reasons why this happened and connect dots A to B. Okay. So Mr. Pruger, again, sat through this press conference held by Dr. Howard, listened to everything that was said. And there were some other rather revealing comments that were made in this press conference.
Okay.
Dr. Howard was giving answers, trying to answer things as best he can. And then kind of dropped some bombshells about what went on. So again, Mr. Pruger writes another article that says, quote, school president Chris Howard on Tuesday afternoon confirmed the exclusive reporting of DK Pittsburgh Sports earlier in the day that there was, in fact, no vote conducted by the Board of Trustees. He claimed, instead, that the trustees achieved a consensus after the decision had already been made, and he declined to define what consensus meant in this context or how many members were canvassed, unquote. So wait. When he put out the statement a week ago that said the Board of Trustees voted on this, he lied?
Yeah, apparently. And then, like, consensus. Like, what?
But if you didn't talk to the Board of Trustees, who gave their consensus? Like,
that's what I don't get.
What are you talking about? So that's a bombshell right there. So, I mean, I don't know if, again, I'm not a linguist. I'm certainly not an English major. I don't know if anybody knows what the definition of consensus is, but none of that's consensus.
Yeah, doesn't.
So Howard, in trying to explain how he came to this consensus, went on to explain a little bit more. And again, Pruger quotes this entire thing verbatim. This is what Howard had said in the press conference. Quote, it's one of those sort of, for lack of a better word, is a bit of a straw poll that you start off with and you give everybody an opportunity to speak up. Then you reflect on that it's pretty obvious for those who have been in boardrooms when I just want to make this clear how painfully difficult people said that, yes, we think this is the right way to go forward. But nonetheless, we do think this is the way to go forward. Unquote. What the hell are you talking about, Howard?
Yeah.
Consensus would mean, okay, I mean, I'll break this down quickly. Straw polls are an unofficial vote, which means that you had to have polled somebody on this idea. Who the hell did you poll? Because he didn't talk to anybody. So who's the poll? Who's doing the vote? So he lied there. You give everybody an opportunity to speak up, was the next comment, which never happened. Again, he took no questions and he certainly didn't consult the Board of Trustees. So again, that's another lie. You reflect on that, it's pretty obvious for those of us that have been in boardrooms that when I just want to make this clear, how painfully difficult people said that, yes, we think this is the right way to go forward. Again, he already admitted he spoke to no one. So who the hell is he talking about?
I don't get it.
We do think this is the way to go forward. The only way that statement is true is if he's referring to himself and Morgan O'Brien only.
Yeah.
If he's referencing anybody else who had a vote, none of them voted that way. He's never got to vote.
Yeah. Like you literally just said though, that you didn't talk to anyone. So I just would like to know who you're actually talking to at this point.
He went on to say that there were some, you know, some other issues that sort of popped up. And again, I will quote exactly what was written by Mr. Pruger. So Howard, who is now sporting, I'm going to say what, an 0-for-4 on that explanation. So hasn't hit one truth yet. Turned his attention to the costs of running the program in the arena at the RMU Island Sports Center. Pruger writes, Howard cited lack of ticket sales, facility upgrades, and the expenses accrued by the programs as the reasons behind the decision. He called the program Robert Morris's most expensive, estimating an annual cost of $1 million. He added that the program would have needed, quote, approximately $5 to $13 million for facility upgrades, unquote, as well as, quote, $10 million to $25 million to cover long-term operating costs and facility upgrades, unquote. Okay, hold on. We do know that hockey is an expensive sport to play. There's no doubt about that. I'm not here to debate that fact. We all know it's true. But he just said that the lack of facility upgrades was a reason behind the decision, and then said that it would have cost approximately $5 to $13 million for those facility upgrades. So clearly he's looked into how much it would have cost and then blamed the fact that they didn't want to spend the money on the reason for cutting the program.
Sounds like it. 100%. Like,
so you're telling me,
like, oh, just
this is like saying, you know what? It's going to cost me $10,000 to build a garage, but I'm not going to build the garage because it's going to cost me $10,000.
Yeah.
What? Are you building a garage or not? Well, we would, and it would certainly make, you know, it would certainly raise the value of the house, but we're not really willing to invest that kind of money.
right? That's my thing. If you're saying this, looking into it, doing whatever, and if this is the reason why, you know, you're not wanting, at least just say like, oh, we don't have the money, we don't whatever, like, don't.
Okay, but they do have the money though. And this is where I don't understand, because we already talked about that RMU 100 Ready to Rise campaign that, where they're raising money. They've already surpassed their goal of $100 million by $8 million. You can earmark that $8 million towards doing the facility upgrades. Like, this isn't a hard... You have $8 million extra dollars at your disposal. Yeah, okay, fine. That's fine. Maybe you don't want to spend the money on that. That's okay. No big deal. I understand that. I don't know where he comes up with $10 to $25 million to cover long-term operating costs and facility upgrades. I don't know where he gets that math from, because if you're talking about just constant maintenance and to what you've already upgraded and or what you're not upgrading, that's going to be a cost you have to pay anyway.
Right?
Like, this is a rink. It's not just some lean-to. It's an operating hockey rink that offers public skating, that offers figure skating academies, hockey academies, skating academies, that offers local high school games, that offers all sorts of different on-ice productions that you're hosting and you're making money off of, that you're not willing to reinvest into the very facility that's hosting all of these events.
Right?
And yet you still want to collect fees from the public without trying to support the 55 students who are paying RMU money to go to that school.
I just don't understand. Like, this whole thing just drives me absolutely insane.
You want to go even further into this? Because Prugar then went and pulled a few numbers.
Oh, good.
So Prugar decided that, you know what? These numbers sound awfully weird, awfully wrong. Like, something's off here.
Yeah.
Decided to go dig into a little bit of information about what the university was spending. Again, Dr. Howard claimed that hockey was Robert Morris's most expensive, estimating an annual cost of around $1 million. Right? Like, we already know, and hockey is expensive. It's a myth that he's trying to sell at this point that he's hoping everybody will buy. So if you actually look into it, ice hockey for both men's and women's hockey total for the 2019-2020 year cost the school, this doesn't include scholarships, mind you, but just the operating costs, $383,000, to be honest. Okay, hold on. Now, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Remember, he claimed $1 million to run this. Basketball. Okay, now let's be honest here. 55 people are involved with hockey. 55 students are involved with ice hockey. Basketball has 28. 14 and 14. Basketball cost the school $623,180. Legitimately, $250,000 more than what ice hockey cost.
Yeah.
The cost for the basketball program, the women's basketball program, and this is, again, I'm not picking on the women here, but the cost for the women's basketball program individually was $238,685. The cost for men's hockey, who had 29 participants, was $208,103. It cost them more to run women's basketball than it did to run men's ice hockey.
Yeah, that's insane.
Okay. So maybe it's got to do with the scholarship. There's way more kids playing hockey than there is basketball. Maybe the scholarships are the issue. So again, I went digging a little bit more, just to see if I could figure out some information, find any information. There's a website out there called College Factual, collegefactual.com. So I went digging, and I found out that Robert Morris's average scholarship amount is around $18,125 per athlete. If you add up assuming that everybody gets a full scholarship, which we know isn't true, but assuming that everybody gets a full scholarship to play hockey and basketball, the total cost of running two hockey programs would have cost RMU $1.379 million, while the basketball programs would have cost $1.13 million.
Yeah.
The difference is $250,000. And we're splitting hairs over $250,000 when it comes to two athletic programs that have both competed at the national championships. Really?
Other thing too is like, like scholarships, even if they were to get a full scholarship, a lot of students get some scholarship from hockey in the States and then some from the school for their like academics.
Right.
So even at that point, like,
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
So there have been more transgressions now that have happened. Things that people may not have realized, people that may not have been interested in. The Pittsburgh Penguins were a big supporter of Robert Morris Hockey. They've twice hosted the men's Frozen Four tournament at PPG Arena in conjunction with Robert Morris. So yeah, they got a good relationship there. Penguins have come out and basically said they were unaware that this was going on, that they had no clue that, that Robert Morris was cutting their programs. Okay. So the Penguins president and CEO David Morehouse said that he was willing to help them resurrect the programs if possible and maybe find a way to finance them.
No way.
Yeah. So we've got a guy who wants to see hockey continue.
Yeah.
Still doesn't solve their arena problem though, right? Like they still got a problem with that arena that they got, that they play in. And that's where another player stepped in. Black Bear Sports CEO Murray Gunty. You may not know this name. You may not know who Murray Gunty is. Murray Gunty basically runs this huge sports conglomerate that owns all sorts of arenas in and around Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania. He also happens to own the Youngstown Phantoms, which you might recognize as a USHL team. He has offered to buy the arena from RMU and make the RMU Colonials the main tenant in that arena while doing all of the upgrades.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So
again, Black Bear Sports Group and their operating partner, Ice Rink Performance Group, they own 27 rinks. They got a little bit of experience in this, it sounds like.
Yeah, maybe just a bit.
A bit. So they, again, Gunty approached the RMU executives, the Dr. Chris Howard, for example, came forward and said, let's do this. Like, I want to get this done. Okay. Late Tuesday night, Gunty said, quote, we received a non-disclosure agreement and are working through that document. Otherwise, there's been no communication whatsoever.
I just don't.
So it sounds to me like RMU is not only not wanting to have hockey, but doesn't even want to bring up the topic at all anymore, that they don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I just...
You've got guys that are willing to fix the arena for you. You've got guys that are willing to finance the cost of the hockey programs for you. You've basically alleviated the two main problems that you had with paying for hockey. And you don't even want to talk to these guys about it.
That's insane.
Like, what is going on at RMU?
I would love to know what is going through their minds.
Oh, we got more, though.
Uh-oh.
So Gunty, who offered to buy the arena, knows that it's going to take a little bit of work and get everything going. Morehouse, again, the CEO from the Penguins, has tried to partner with the Colonials in the past because they're looking at building a third rink on the new UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, UPMC Event Center, which is where the Penguins practice. That third rink would essentially be used exclusively by the Colonials for their games. The only thing that RMU had to pay for would have been the building of a new dressing room, or at least a couple of new dressing rooms for their opponent as well. So they were looking at already doing this with RMU. RMU has not embraced this idea one bit.
I don't understand.
They've been in conversation with RMU for more than 2 years regarding the prospect of a partnership at UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. Morehouse said it's long been the hope of the franchise to build a third sheet of the ice that both the Colonials teams could use as their home. The primary cost for the Colonials would be building their locker room, a debt that could be paid down over time.
So they've had options in the past. So at this point, it's just they don't want to deal with the hockey teams.
At this point, it sounds like we have no interest in being a Division I hockey program.
Yeah.
And again, if Gunty buys Island Sports Center, he could take care of the costs at that arena alone. If Gunty was to partner with the Penguins and pay for the dressing room that had to be built, there would be zero cost to RMU. And Gunty came out and said, quote, I am open to any structure that helps save RMU hockey, unquote. Meaning he doesn't even care if he owns the rink. He just wants to save RMU hockey.
And they're not saying anything.
No, we have nothing. Nothing.
What the frick?
This has become, I'm going to say, an ugly stain on RMU at this point because of Dr. Chris Howard's continual lies and non-truth that he's giving to everybody.
I was going to say, like, this goes back to our transparency that we talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck? I said it wrong twice and it still didn't sound right. I just went with it.
this is what I mean. Did. Like, we're at the point now where this is just, this is beyond stupid.
I just don't, it makes me so mad. Just even then, he's continuously lying, going on and on and on and on. Nothing's making sense. And then he, all this other stuff has come out, whatever. At this point, you know what? You already looked like the bad guy because you are. At this point, if all this is like happening and you just don't want to have a hockey team, just say it.
But that's the thing.
Yeah, that sucks. But like, why do you need to just make up lies 24/7? And obviously, yeah, people are calling you out now and you look bad. So at this point, you already look bad. You might as well just say your actual reasons.
But how do you go to a school where the president does nothing but lie? Like, this is the question. Right? Is that you expect a guy to be a guy of his stature to be a leader in the community, a leader in the academic community. You can't believe a word he says anymore. He's a disgraced liar at this point.
Yeah.
So
like a very big liar.
I mean, I want to give credit to Jared Pruger from DK Pittsburgh Sports and Tim Benz from Trib Live as well. He filed a lot of the stuff about Gunty and Morehouse today. So again, this will continue. We will not stop following this program or this story. We will not stop yapping about RMU until it's either dead in the water or until they're back, because one way or the other, this is only going to get worse for RMU and Howard before it gets better.
No, I agree. We're just going to have to keep checking up. Cause
I mean, it sucks. Cause there's going to be players that are going to transfer out now if they want to keep playing hockey, but you made the bed, it's time to lie in it.
Exactly. Just say something, like anything.
We'll see what happens now, but I hate to say it, but we're pretty much out of time here, Jen. So anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. Not today.
No. Again, have you got any, I haven't got anybody asking about the coaching thing. Have you got anything about the coaching thing yet?
Actually, no, actually I haven't. That is a very good point. So coaches, you know what? You don't even have to be a woman, to be honest. Obviously it would be nice because it's girls hockey, but we just need a little bit of help out there next year with the Vicks. So send me or Teams a message or I don't know.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to, if you want to, but yeah, we need some coaches.
Let's get some coaching going there, folks. So if you're a coach and you're looking for something to do next year, St. Patel Vicks are looking for some help. It doesn't matter, male, female, whatever. Let's just get some good coaches in there and get the kids a chance to play for sure. So, yes. That, folks, we're out of here for another week. Thanks for tuning in to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. Stay tuned. Free Range Radio with Skippy. Holy Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. With that, we're out of here for another week. See you next Thursday, everybody. Have a good one. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.